Reverend Robert Naylor tells a story about his family during his candidating weekend. As many of us know, the candidating weekend is the final step in the process towards calling a pastor. The potential pastor comes to the church and spends some time with the community and preaches a sermon, and generally there's a potluck or some sort of get-together. And Pastor Naylor explains that he was invited to attend a coffee and get acquainted time before the worship service. Now, he was engaged in a lively discussion with his two preteen children about whether or not they would wear socks to worship. They had agreed to wear ties and shirts and slacks, but they were not in favor of wearing socks with their loafers. It was all the rage, regardless of the season, to go sockless. Since he believed that good first impressions are made by wearing socks, which he wore them, so they should wear them too, he did not think that their charming personalities were sufficient. He wanted them to wear socks. Now, his wife was the mediator, and there became two options: wear socks and not go to the coffee hour before worship, or wear no socks and go to both the welcoming coffee and the worship service. The children ended up wearing no socks and attending both events, and believe it or not, he still got the job. In hindsight, Pastor Naylor realized that he raised his blood pressure unnecessarily and made the family less enthusiastic about the candidating weekend because he made small stuff into big stuff. In our scripture lesson today from Luke, it would seem that making small stuff into big stuff is part of the human experience, at least in religious circles, and probably throughout all community relations. The Sadducees, one of the powerful parties in the Jewish religious hierarchy, in an attempt to trap Jesus by his saying some heretical statement, asked him a question about marriage and resurrection. One of seven brothers married a woman and has no children, and then he died. As was often the custom, to care for the widow, another brother married her, and the same thing happened to him. No children and then death. All seven brothers married the widow, and all met with the same fate. You guessed it, no children and death. The seven-time widow eventually died herself. Now came the perplexing question. In heaven, whose wife of the seven is she? Jesus reflects for a moment before answering. Now, if I were Jesus, I might have begun by answering, you would have thought that by the time the fourth brother had died, and the rest of them would have thought twice about marrying this woman. But instead, Jesus reminds them that God is the God of the living, not a God of the dead. The question they had asked was inconsequential. Jesus is basically saying to them, our concern should be for the living. The Gospel of Mark's account of the same encounter gets to the heart of Jesus' answer. After Jesus had silenced the Sadducees with his thoughtful response, in Mark we read the following passage. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he had answered them well, he asked, what commandment is the first of all? Jesus answered, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Then the scribe looked at him and said, you are right. So what is the big stuff in life? To love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says to his inquisitors that the big stuff in life involves people, people who are living. The essence of Jesus' message is that the overseers of the law had spent too much time in the minutiae of the law, turning the two basic commandments into over 600 commandments. Who cares who will be married to whom in heaven? It's all about loving God and loving your neighbor. As we all know, we live in a society that's more stressed out on more anxiety-reducing medications and has more unmet mental health needs than ever before. Despite the depression, rage, anger, violence, These are all byproducts of a society that proclaims you must have it all or you are found to be lacking. The pursuit of owning what others consider to be big stuff makes us feel more insufficient, drives us to seek more and more of this world's unattainable dream. Many think that happiness comes from owning the latest technological gadget, belonging to the country club, or attending Ivy League schools. Father Ronald Roldheiser reflects on the emptiness that many of us feel as they search for the supposed big stuff. Beyond physical possessions, deeper hungers are being stifled. Carl Rahner so poignantly puts it, "We suffer torment because the unattainable possessions are insufficient, and in this life there is no finished symphony. Our inbox, our to-do list is never complete. We feel insufficient because we consistently seek things that are unnecessary or unattainable. Unlike many in our world who are living at or near the poverty line, many of us are obsessed with seeking what we think is the big stuff, but in reality is actually small stuff. We seek unimportant things in a world full of great need." A pastor recalls how a bride and her mother came to meet him with a Martha Stewart wedding book in hand. Although they were there to plan the wedding, they kept questioning if the flower arrangements would coordinate with the simple plainness of a colonial congregational meeting house. Then they explained the necessity of a precisely timed wedding service so they could perfectly coordinate the opening of the bar and the serving of hors d'oeuvres at the moment the first guest arrived at the reception hall. Their final concern was whether the bridesmaids' dresses would clash with the red carpet of the church. This bride-to-be and her mother were focused entirely upon the material parts of the wedding, not the impending commitment between two people in front of God, their family, and friends. Now contrast this planning of a wedding with a scene at a bedside of two people who have been married for more than 50 years. I've witnessed so many times a loving spouse sitting at the bedside, holding the hand, stroking the brow of their beloved. These couples are living out their marriage vows, to be together in sickness and in health. Marriage vows. Now, that's big stuff. Pastor Naylor relays the story of a man who had been obsessed with his work, golfing and trying to prove to himself that he was important. This led to years of excessive drinking, and he was fortunate that his wife and children were still in his life. While he lay dying, he reflected that he was so grateful that he had straightened out his priorities before he got sick, because he did not have to die alone. He was surrounded by his family. This patient figured out that loving God through loving his wife and his family, that is big stuff. Richard Carlson, from his beloved book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and It's All Small Stuff, writes, "Something wonderful begins to happen with the simple revelation that life, like an automobile, is driven from the inside out, not the other way around. As you focus more on becoming more peaceful with who you are, rather than focusing on where you would rather be, you begin to feel peace right now in the present moment." This leads to some questions that I think we all need to ponder, reflect upon, as we're hearing today's text from Luke. Some of these questions include, what do I need rather than what do I want? How am I blessed rather than how have I been shortchanged? How much do I work to accumulate possessions versus how much of my life is focused on building community with and caring for others? Do I spend time being grateful for what I have or lamenting what I don't have? These are all particularly meaningful questions as our stewardship campaign is starting. To love God and to love your neighbor. So simple, but we make it so difficult. Theologian Richard Foster writes, "Contemporary culture is plagued by passion for possessions. More is better. The result is that the lust for affluence in contemporary society has become psychotic. We feel strained, hurried, breathless, Christian simplicity frees us from this modern mania. People once again become more important than possessions. Are people more important than things? Yes, absolutely. People are the big stuff. In today's scripture, the Sadducees inquire about who is married to whom in heaven. Jesus let us know that this is the small stuff. Helping to build a home for someone who has no home, that's the big stuff. The floral arrangement for a wedding table, small stuff. Being able to serve soup to those in need, feeding children through EDFK, planting a garden, that's big stuff. Wearing loafers without socks, I think we all know what Jesus would say at this point. Please join me in a spirit of prayer. God, pour your Holy Spirit upon us now, so that we may be wise in our discernment of what is the big stuff and what is the small stuff. We pray that we will keep our passion for loving you and loving our neighbor far above our love for possessions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.